Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. We're starting a new message series. We're going to do it now through Easter. Say now through Easter. We're going to do a message series now through Easter, and it's called Poured Out. The Lord has been talking to me about pouring out His Spirit. He's been talking about being poured out as a drink offering. And this morning, He poured Himself out. Isn't that good? Isn't it neat when God is actually who He says He is in your life? That's a good feeling, right? It's a good feeling. Hallelujah. I have the Corey Pagano anointing happening right here, and for some reason my computer didn't want to do anything. It's pretty interesting right now. Corey did a good job last week, right? Good job, Corey. Where are you at? Where is Corey at? He's over there. He's watching his baby. It was his anniversary this week, too. How many years was it, Corey? 7 years. Go ahead. Hallelujah. 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 On the seventh day, he rested, so that means this year is going to be easy. Who takes that for their marriage? I just take that prophecy from me. Single people, take it. Easy marriage this year. Come on. I'd take it. Are you with me? Are you at Romans 5? We're going to read it together here. Hallelujah. Do you feel the presence of God here still? Do you feel it? Hallelujah. This will change your life. Romans chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to get kind of a running start to what we're talking about here, right? So this is Paul, and Paul was not scared of a run-on sentence, right? He was not scared at all. He was not worried about someone coming to mark up his writings. He just wasn't worried at all. Watch how many words I can put together in a sentence, right? Therefore, Paul says, therefore, are you with me? Are you reading? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace, in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Let me read the last two verses again. And perseverance, verse 4, proven character, and proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 6, for while we were still sinners, while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you say amen to the reading of the word? I want to talk about being poured out. I want to talk about for the next several weeks, and I want to challenge you how to tap into God's limitless supply. I'm going to talk about how to tap into God's limitless supply. God's been talking to me this for a couple weeks now, and I've been praying through it, and there's been phrases going through my head about being poured out, and John Arnott said it this week, which I've heard it before, and it captured my heart, and he said that the only things you get to keep are the things you give away. The only things you keep are the things you give away. You see, when we hold on to things too tightly, they begin to own us. Now, if you think I'm talking about money, I'm not. And unfortunately, that is the stronghold that our society builds in our hearts. And what it does is it says, I need to hold on to mine because if I give it away, I'm going to run out. If I'm too nice to people, they'll take advantage of me. If I'm too generous, they'll rob from me. If people don't deserve my kindness, then they'll expect it as if that's bad. I can't love someone who's done something wrong to me because that somehow devalues me. And all of that is completely logical, except it's contrary to Scripture. And we want to be a people who emulate Christ. Amen? We want to be people who emulate Christ. We want to be walking anointed ones on the earth. Amen? I want to be more than who I can be. And so in this scripture, Paul writing to the church in Rome, verse 3, he says, "And not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope." We have a problem. Let me say it this way. Bad theology is bad for lots of reasons. But bad theology will teach you that we can be carnal and God will bless it. And then we have to craft a whole God that will bless our carnality. And the problem is, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do." So God has made himself vulnerable to people with ulterior motives, unfortunately. Now, Jesus said, you can do that, but you're building your house on a house of sand. And at some point, when we build a house on sand, the storm will come. We want good theology, theology being the study of God. We want good theology because we don't want to hope in something that isn't real. We don't want to hope in something that's not real, Mike. We want to hope in reality. We can all agree on something being real that doesn't make it real, amen? We can all agree on something being the truth that doesn't make it truth, amen? We can all say, I can. Anybody watch these fail videos on YouTube? And the guys who think they can jump from one roof to another? And we watch them catch like the super whiplash and fall to the ground. Am I the only one who has seen some of these videos? And people who think they can do parkour, but really just fall really well. As you walk with God, and I just want to talk to you as a father today. If you walk with God long enough, you're going to watch theologies pop up that are popular and don't last. Because they seem exciting at the beginning. And what I have found is most new truths are old heresies. But it takes a while for people to find out that they're not true and they fail. Now, God is so gracious, he waits to uncover them until some people get some roots in themselves so it doesn't destroy too many people. And so we wonder, why is this movement flourishing? Why isn't God dealing with that? Because he cares for the people caught up in it. He really loves them. He even loves us. And he's so good that he'll wait to destroy these things. Excuse me. He will preserve them until they destroy themselves. There's many movements, and I look at them and I just say, I love them, I bless them, I bless their heart, but there's no way that's going to last. We were looking at some office spaces this week, and we were like, can we rent this and the office next door? Because we just need more space than this. And they're like, well, we don't know what their lease is, and we looked at what the store was, and some of you in business know what I'm about to talk about. We looked at this one, we're like, oh man, that's popular. Yeah, that won't be around long. You know, we'll be able to rent that office in a year or two. There's no way that business model is going to last. I understand it's popular, but it's like the guy who was looking for how to unload his million fidget spinners. This is a true story. Guy was like, I bought a million wholesale. I was going to be rich, and now I can't sell any of them. It's important to figure out what's the fidget spinner and what's the Wi-Fi router, right? Because one of those is going to last. And one of those is not. Some of those, let me tell you this, God's revelation always solves real problems. God's heart is to solve problems. And God's real revelation solves real problems. Feeling bad about your sin is not a problem. That's good. Let me say that again. Feeling bad about your sin is not a problem. It's good. It makes you stop sinning. Right? That's why sin is supposed to be convicting. That's just an example. And so it says in the scripture that sometimes we go through some tribulations. Because the Bible says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And if you get smart, we start saying, Lord, just shake everything. I don't want anything that's not real to stand. Just shake everything. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I want it to be shaken early rather than later because I don't want to build my house on anything that won't stand God's shaking. Our country has a crazy issue right now with people believing lies just so they don't have to agree with someone they don't like. It's bizarre. If you're involved in politics at all, somebody you like is doing that. And at some point we have to say, yeah, I like their economic policy, but this person's a liar. Jesus is not a liar. And so modern society is helping us to discern our enemies. Except everybody but them is the enemy. Have you noticed this? Our country is being divided, our society is being divided, the church is being divided. And now people are enemies. Oh, they're the enemy. They're trying to make us whatever. They're the enemies. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that? What's really cool about that is God talked to us about enemies. Those are the people we're supposed to love. He didn't say you can't have enemies. He just said, oh, those are the people you need to go and love. So if you've branded somebody the enemy, now the truth of God's word comes to say, okay, how are you going to love them? How are we going to love them? How are we going to love them? Listen, there's an agenda for the church today to redefine what a family is. That's an enemy to the truth. And so Jesus said, oh, that's an enemy to the truth? How are you going to love them? No, we got to kill them. Wrong covenant. We're supposed to kill that ideology, but how do we do that? Through love. Hear me. If you're going to operate in that kind of love, you better get it from somewhere because we don't have it on our own. See, people who don't have access to that kind of love have to resort to hate. They have to resort to violence. The answer to every problem is violence because that's all they have. They don't have a love that eclipses natural love. Jesus said, I want you to operate in a love that's impossible for you to operate in. And we're like, well, how does that work? I will give it to you. And without me, you can do nothing. You say, what do you mean I can do nothing? I can do lots of stuff. Nothing that counts. Anything we build without him doesn't count. In the end, the fire comes and it gets consumed and it won't matter. We can have the biggest church in Boca. You can have the biggest business in Florida. You can win all the beauty contests and you can get the most points, the internet points on whatever thing you're doing. And in the end, it won't matter. I don't know how internet points will be consumed by the fire, but they will. And it won't matter. It won't matter. You can have the most expensive widget. You can have the prettiest hoodingy. It doesn't matter. Anything we do without him will not last. And Jesus says, listen, through Paul, he tells us, listen, there's things that are going to come against your call. Some of them are good. Because you're going to learn to hold on what's true. Listen, when you first get married, you newlyweds out there, you young bucks, there's things that you thought that you really wanted in a marriage, and 10 years down the road, those things won't even matter. 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, we're at 18 years down the road. Some of you think I'm a newlywed, but you know, down the road, you're going to look at it, and you're going to say, "Yeah, just if my spouse is nice to me, I'm good." That's good. I'm good with that right there. That's it. When you're young, you're like, I want us to go parasailing together, and I want them to, like, do they pray for you, and are they nice to you? Hey, that's like, good. Good. I can take on the world with that. Come on. When you're 15, you need a peer group. When you're immature, you need a squad. When you're grown, you find out who's really on your side. Like, if I got one person in my corner, I'm good. And some of you are like, I got Jesus, right? Like, amen. I think the lights went out. Can you see your Bibles? I don't know if what happened to the light there. We used to keep it dark, and then like older people started coming. By older, I mean like over 25, and they're like, I can't see my Bible. You have to turn on lights. All right. I liked it better dark, but I want you to be able to see your Bible. That's a video, guys. They're like, it's better for video. I'm like, yeah, people want to see their Bible. Are you with me? Oh, goodness, I have 4 minutes. Okay. I might go slightly long today. Jonathan just texted me. Hi, JJ. Should I read this now or no? Okay. Listen, as we go through life, our desires and expectations shift. Because we find out life is hard. Right? Life is hard, and God begins to test. And the world begins to test what's really valuable in our lives. And at some point, we're just like, that used to be the center of everything, and now it's not important. Your hope gets refined. The goal is not that disappointment would rise, but hope gets refined. What is the true hope that God has for you? And sometimes that's a process. And Paul says here is that hope doesn't disappoint. When it goes through that process, it does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The true hope of God, the true hope for our lives, the true hope through our hearts into the world has been poured out from God. And if He has poured that into our hearts, then He'll empower us to see it. That's why it's important we need to get in His presence and allow Him to purify our hopes and desires. So when you're in the presence of God, your hopes and desires shift. When you're just going through life on your own, you start dreaming for stupid stuff. Stuff that doesn't matter. Oh, if only I had that Lexus SUV. And then one day you find a lump in your neck. And all of a sudden the Lexus SUV don't mean squat. Or you have kids that need to go to the hospital. And you're like, I could care less if I get that promotion. I want healthy children. Or you got a squad, but you don't know if your folks are going to heaven. And they're starting to get old. The priorities begin to shift to God priorities. And you get in the presence of God, and the glory comes down, and the angels begin to minister to you. And the Spirit is moving in the room. Spirit of prophecy begins to move. And all of a sudden, that stupid fight you had with your spouse looks as stupid as it was. And the thing you were fighting about, you begin to get convicted because your heart was not pure towards your spouse. And all of a sudden, He's there and you can ask whatever you want. And you're not saying, if only I could get that food processor I've been looking at on Pinterest. You begin to say things like, Lord, allow me, empower me to overcome this besetting sin. Let me glorify Your name in the earth, Lord. I don't care what people think about me. I want to operate in Your presence and power. Are you with me? This is the pouring out that God wants to do in you, within your heart. Now, the deception is that it gets into our hearts and it's all for us. Now, when you got saved, you became a complete person. Let me say it again. When you were converted to Christ, you became a complete person. Jesus Christ converted you, quickened your spirit, took you from darkness to light, sealed you with His Holy Spirit. Now, you may not know that you're a complete person, but you're complete in Christ. Now, the enemy is going to let you know you're going to have to work on this one thing for the next 40 years, to lie from hell. Want you to focus at your issues forever, to lie from hell. Want you to get trapped in buying this person's books for the next 30 years so you can learn how to overcome that issue in your life. Or you can just move on. See, hope won't mock. It's a triumphant celebration. It's a triumphant celebration. But let me show you else he does with this pouring out quickly. Titus 3 says, starting in verse 5, says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by Holy Spirit, whom he poured out, not in us this time, but upon us, richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So he poured out his Spirit. First it talks about in our heart. Now it's upon us. We have eternal life. Here, let me tell you this. Your afterlife has already been settled. What happens after you died? It's already been settled. It's already taken care of. It's done. It's a done deal. The ticket has been paid for. Your seat is reserved. The Bible actually says that he is there preparing a place for you right now. Some people say it's all about us and transforming the earth and bringing the kingdom here. That's great, except that Jesus is there preparing a place for you. And I don't think he's doing anything in futility. I believe Jesus knows what he's doing. So he's preparing a place for you. If I know you're coming to my house, I'm preparing a place for you. If I'm not sure, I'm waiting. We got pregnant. We always got pregnant women in this church. And I'm glory to Jesus. You know that's not all the churches in Boca have children's ministries, because not all of them have churches. I mean, some of them, you know how we have stroller parking? Some have wheelchair parking. You know what I mean? Because it's not scooter parking. Like, everybody needs ministry, right? But when women get pregnant, about seventh month, eighth month, what do they start doing, fellas? They start nesting, don't they? They start preparing a place. Now, some of you women start about the 6 weeks, right? You take a test, and immediately, we need to buy furniture. There's stuff we need to buy. Like, babe, you're not even showing yet. I'm showing right here in my heart. It's happening. Why aren't you buying stuff yet? I'm like, the stick is still wet. Can we just wait a second? Buy stuff right now. Buy it right now. Because they're expecting this. They're preparing a place. Listen, Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven. It's settled. Now listen, if he's conquered death and that is settled, why would he put a spirit upon you? To get you to heaven? No, you need it here. People need what's on you. He puts it on you for them. It's in you for you, but it's on you for them. We're supposed to be dripping this thing all around us. As I whip my arms around, the presence of God splashes on people. Ha. Whew. That's who we're called to be. Hallelujah. Ha. Come, Lord. Ha. Come, Lord. You know, choosing to believe in Jesus, it's not an intellectual asserting that Christian historical events really took place and are properly aligned with facts and has eternal implications. No, believing in Jesus means I choose to follow in the way of the Lord, the way he showed us, choosing to love him, putting our trust in him. As we would a close friend or trusted confidant. I have found Jesus to be faithful. I've not found him to be faithful to my vision. But I've found him to be faithful to who he's called to be. Listen, we need to be in his word. We need to read the scriptures. Now, those of you, I'm trusting you have the Bible app, yeah? Yeah, you know, and as you read the Bible app, you know, it tracks it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not a techie. I don't consider myself a techie per se. I know there's some technical people in the room. But you know, in the Bible app, it's got all the scriptures here. It's got every version of the Bible, yeah? And it's got But they, I just discovered this. I'm hoping this will help some of you. So if you get, they somehow got the Bible app, right? That's on your iPhone. And they somehow, I don't know how they did this, but they took the words and they put it on paper. They took what's in the Bible app and they put it on paper. Yeah, yeah. So I like reading my Bible app, but sometimes I'm reading my Bible app and then all of a sudden I get a text message. Right? I get notifications, I see stuff. And then I see stuff like, you know, Nephilim. That's like linoleum, maybe flooring. I need a new rug for the kitchen. Let me see what Amazon has. Look at Target.com. You've ordered some paper towels. You got vitamins coming to the house. Feel good that you've accomplished stuff. You go to leave like, oh yeah, I was reading the Bible, right? And so this technical thing they did is they put the words on paper and they have like a mute setting. No notifications happen. Watch how this works. It's kind of like Bluetooth. You can leave this in your room. You can go in the living room with this. Interruption-free reading of the Bible. It's amazing. It's really amazing. It's amazing. And you can just read chapter after chapter, and you can be like, oh, let me just see if what's on this other. Oh, it's more Bible, right? No matter where you look, it's Bible. Every link in here, because in the median, it's got links to other parts. And you look, well, let's see what's on that page. You know how you go on other pages on the phone? And it's like, yeah, you're swiping right and left. See, we're always swiping right with this, though. Check it out. I think we're going to have some of these for sale. This new app they call the Bible. We have them for $5. And you want to check that out. Get that involved in your life. Be like up to date with what the tech world is doing. Amen? We need to get this word in our hearts, though. We need it in our hearts. Listen, if you're not reading the Bible and saying, I don't see this in my life right now, if that's not happening to you, get in the Word more and expect God to talk to you. Because he wants to put seeds in you to contend for so he can birth his truth on the earth through you. He wants to pour it out on you. Are you with me? I mean, come on. Hallelujah. This ain't the Kravis Center. We're not here to put on a play. I'm here to get you activated. You're never getting on stage at the Kravis Center. There's not a time you're going to go there and they're going to say, stop the play here for a second. Let's see who here can act. We travel the world doing this musical performance, but let's see here who might be called to worship. Let's called to sing. Let's see. That's not going to happen. Church should be different than that. Church should be a place where you learn how to get in the game. And then someone finds out if you're equipped to do that. Are you with me? Come on, tell your neighbor, get in the game. So listen, we're almost done here. Choosing to believe in Jesus is not just accepting historical facts. It's following Jesus. This is what Jesus said in John 13. Watch this. I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Watch this again. I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. What did Jesus do to you? Now, Jesus put it on me, first of all, right? What did he do to you? He gave you everything he has. Gave you everything. Everything he received from his Father, the Bible says, he gave to us. Do you know that everything you've received from God, you can give away? Let me say it again. Everything you receive from God, you can give away. Every revelation you get, you can give to somebody else, and they can get that same revelation from God. Every blessing you get from God, you're supposed to give it away. If you've received a touch from Jesus, you can pray for people, and they'll receive a touch from God. It's an amazing, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. Watch this, John chapter 7. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Who do you think those rivers are for? Who do you think they're for? You can learn to drink from your own river, but the mouth of the river doesn't drink from the river. The mouth of the river flows down. And the Bible says everywhere the river goes, there's what? Life. Everywhere the river goes, there's life. There's a river that flowed into your heart, the Bible says. He's poured out into your heart. Bible says it's poured out upon you for other people, but it's coming out of you. It's coming out of you. If you allow it, it's coming out of you and bringing life to everyone you let drink from it. Now, there's some of you that are just walking fire hoses, and people may not even be thirsty, and you're shooting water into them because that's who you are. There's others of you who have access to a river, and you're just like, oh, I just need more. I just need more. I just need more. I just need more. And you have no idea if you have a river because there's no one to draw from you. You need to start giving away what you have and watching God do miracles through you. You'll never know if you have a healing gift until you pray for someone to be healed. It's the only way to find out. You'll never know if you have a prophetic word unless you ask the Lord, do I have a prophetic word? It's great when he interrupts your world and tells you. You better find out. Let the Lord touch your compassion. You see someone with a need, and you say, Lord, I want to meet that need. I want to meet that financial need. I don't know how I'm going to do that, God, but I'm believing you. I don't have the 500, but I have 50, and I'm sending that now, trusting you for the 450 others. Amen. You'll never know. How do you know if you have the gift of giving until you start giving? Come on, Davis. So with that being said, we're looking at new facilities. But the last thing we want is a place to park. If we're not equipping people and sending them out, what's the point? Just to make it easier? We're not trying to make it easier. Stand with me. Let's pray. We're going to receive the Lord's table now. And as Jesus has poured himself out for us, and his life was broken for us, he said, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Now, the Lord began to talk to me about the Lord's Supper this morning. Put up my scripture if you would, please. Luke 24, he says, this is a resurrected Jesus. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Next slide. Thank you. That all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Why am I using this scripture for communion? Here's what happened. Jesus rose from the dead and broke bread with his disciples. And the Bible said, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And then he commanded them to go out and change the world. Do you see that? We need to commune with God. Reading the Bible is good. Reading the Bible in the presence of God is better. And when we do it in his presence, he equips us and sends us out to change the world. Are you with me? Come forward and begin to receive the elements and take them to your place. Hallelujah. Now I want you to connect with God. Now, the Bible says that if you receive the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner, it's not good. And the unworthy manner is not recognizing the greater body of Christ. That's the unworthy manner. So if you've been gossiping about churches, about ministers, about sins, repent. And now's a good time also to just kind of clean up your walk with Christ. If there's some sin you want to repent of, do that. If you have sin you don't want to repent of it anyways. But I want you to receive the Lord's table today, expecting an encounter with the Lord. There it is right there. Expecting an encounter with the Lord. Come Jesus. Now I have a little story to tell you in this holy moment. I've been sitting on these crackers for, I don't know, probably 2 years now. My wife said it's not 2 years. Now I'm about to tell you something that may stretch your, you may or may not come back after this. But I had an encounter with the Lord. I'm going to tell you this morning, expect Jesus to come. I had this season where the Lord... Lord would catch me up and I would be out. And then, I don't know, the Lord, the angel, I don't know, would feed me bread. He would say, commune with me, and he would feed me bread. And it tasted it would just melt in my mouth. Now I'm telling, this is spiritually, not physically, right? It wasn't physical bread, though I'm believing that to happen. The Lord would feed me. And it just tasted amazing. It just melted my mouth. It was buttery, which was weird. And I went and I ministered in Mexico. And a lot of warfare, a lot of miracles. And we had communion. And it tasted just like these crackers. It blew my mind. I was like, I've never tasted this before. And now it tastes like these crackers. Now, this is a stale version of that bread. The bread that Jesus serves is not stale.
Amen.
It's fresh. But as I was with the Lord this morning, he said, today's the day for communion. My wife said, we need to use that bread at the house that you've been sitting on. So I'm hoping it'll multiply or something now, because I had to have them send this to me from Mexico because you can't buy it anywhere. Just spend a moment and just talk to the Lord. Here in his presence, tell him what you need. What you really need. What you really need. It says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup of the new covenant and drank it and said, as often as you drink of this cup, you declare, proclaim. Oh, hallelujah. Feel his presence so sweet right now. Father, we thank you that the body of Jesus is broken for us, and that our future is decided already. And we're to spend eternity with you. And Jesus, we thank you that you made a way. May we receive the body of the Lord. After that, I took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood. This is the cup that was poured out for you. This is the cup, the new covenant. He could have preserved his life, but he poured it out for you. And so Jesus, we're just declaring that this will be poured out into the hearts of people right now. Poured out into the hearts of people right now. Receive the cup of the new covenant. Now we thank you, Jesus. We declare the forgiveness of sins. We declare the forgiveness of sins. We declare the forgiveness of sins. We declare freedom from sickness and disease. We declare the freedom from oppression in the name of Jesus. We command every foul, wicked demon in hell to flee. In the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity, you have to get out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity has to leave in the name of Jesus. One more time. Every spirit of infirmity that causes people to be crazy, you have to leave in the name of Jesus. We curse infertility in the name of Jesus. We curse carcinoma in the name of Jesus. Come on, he's touching people right now. Learning disabilities in the name of Jesus. We declare healing right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, he's touching people right now. Someone, you have a back, I don't know, it's tweaked and it's in your upper portion, just below your shoulder blades, maybe right between your shoulder blades. The Lord is touching your body right now. Look for the pain right now. Move around. There's a right hip the Lord is touching right now. If you have a right hip problem, begin to walk around a little bit and say, the Lord is healing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you thank the Lord for what he's done today? Now listen, we're going to be in this message series. We're going to finish it on Easter. You're going to come in contact with people who need the Spirit of God poured out on them this week. You have to share. You have to invite them. You have to bring them. You have to get them around the presence and power of God. What happens when they get there is up to God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hug two or three people before you go. Lillian's going to sing us out. If you need healing in your body, I'm going to invite you to come forward and someone will pray for you. If you want to get right with God, right over here at the intercession banner, someone will be more than happy to introduce you. We love you. If you want information on anything we talked about, we'll see you at the Next Steps table. Healing your body. Come on forward. Someone's going to pray for you.
Savior, you are. With all the angels, we're singing your name. Jesus, my life will proclaim of all the wonders and glory of what you've done for me. I